And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Yo, you just got cracked. Yeah, you just got cracked. Yo, you just got cracked.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Crocked lovers, this one is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, a Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Heyo! And last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer, JD.
Hello.
Hello. There he is. Here we are. Audio coming through nice and clear.
Crispy.
We had a wedgie last night. Let's show it to you. Wedgie number 56, Brandon Miller in Charlotte from the corner. Now, Dante Exum has quite the reaction there, as you see. It wasn't really to do with the wedgie. He got called for a foul. Okay, so he was like, come on. I barely touched your arm.
But nobody 56. Would be disappointed no. to see a wedgie.
Look at that pace.
That's a lot of wedgies. I know everybody's talking about the playoffs. Oh, the playoffs are coming, the playoffs are coming. The count for the most wedgies ever is coming down to the wire here. Very close. 58 is the amount of wedgies. So we're only two away. Mm. And we count into the playoffs because we just make it our own record. It's not just a regular season record like some people. Forget that. We're there.
Yeah, we're getting it. We're getting 59 at least, and we're probably hitting 60 at some point during the postseason. Special year. Lots of games on last night. A little bit later, we'll do the up-down report, but we had a lot of games.
Chunky.
You sound tired. You just sound
tired. I am tired. There's too much basketball.
There's
too many games. And then you see the schedule tonight. You're thinking, oh, there'll probably only be three games on that. No. There's like seven or eight games on. There's a lot of back-to-back situations.
There's a ton of back-to-backs.
We unfortunately might have more injuries because of these back-to-backs.
Ooh.
What a tease.
That's a segue. That's like a baseball talk.
Right? Yeah, because let's start with the wild news from last night. Two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo exited the Bucks 104-93 win over the Celtics in the third quarter because of an injury to his left calf. You can see it in the short clip here. He just crumples to the floor while running up after inbounding the ball. Total non-contact. Now, the Bucks announced that his injury was a left calf strain. We're hearing some good things, I guess, this morning about the severity of the injury. It's, not an Achilles or anything like that. But, an injury like this can still keep a guy out a week, 2 weeks, maybe even longer. We'll see, the grade of this sprain. What'd you think here of Giannis? And then, of course, we immediately go, what does this mean for the Bucks moving forward here?
Yeah. Initially, I think Giannis Antetokounmpo doesn't get an Achilles injury. That is great news for Giannis Antetokounmpo not being out for a long period of time. And he's going to come back and play in the postseason. Like Achilles, the Greek warrior, Giannis Antetokounmpo is a Greek warrior. He will come back and play basketball. But that being said, it's going to bother him throughout the postseason. I start thinking, well, the 2021 playoffs, he hurt that knee. He came back after a week, and they win the NBA Finals. Why can't they be great again? Well, that was just 2 weeks where they played in the finals. This is 2 months that we're talking about here. And we're talking about a team that was feeling good back then. So I think there's a lot of differences, a lot of negatives we can get into. But I think this just isn't a good sign for the Bucks this postseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a rough season for the Bucks in general, and then for this to happen right as we're gearing up for playoff time. Luckily, the Bucks got a win, so they probably stay out of the play-in tournament, which was like a minor concern. Yeah. But Giannis will have another week to rest his leg there. So yeah, I mean, we'll see how long he actually is out here. Like you're saying, Skeets, it could be a couple of weeks, could be a month, could be who knows, depending on the grade of the strain and the actual location of it. But the Bucks have had some pretty bad injury luck in the playoffs. Recently, I saw Frank Madden from Brew Hoop tweet that in 2020, Giannis missed the last 1.5 games of the Heat series with an ankle injury. 2021, you mentioned it, he sprained his knee against the Hawks, missed the last two games of the Eastern Conference Finals, but Brook Lopez put the team on his back there. 2022, Giannis was healthy, but no Chris Middleton after the first two games of the first round. Then last year, he missed half of game one, then games two and three in the Heat series that the Bucks went on to lose. That's pretty bad luck over the course of four seasons there for especially a guy like Giannis, who's pretty reliable, pretty healthy in general. That being said, he has had some left leg problems this whole season. He's been in and out of the lineup with hamstring concerns. I think there was some calf trouble earlier than that where he just didn't look very explosive at all, which is weird for Giannis. So if they were playing a little bit better, if they had had a chance to click with him, Middleton, and Dame all in the lineup at the same time, maybe he gets a chance to rest this, and he's not having to play in the last week of the season here with their seed completely locked in. That hasn't been the case for the Bucks, and it could come back to bite them going into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the other part of this. Let's say he comes back miraculously, I don't know, in a week for the start of the playoffs with this guy. Who knows? It's possible, I guess. Still, this team wasn't playing well, and they weren't playing together. You said it, Trey. How many games have Middleton, Dame, and Giannis actually played in the same time over the last 30 or 35 games? It's a handful from what I can remember. So they just don't have, obviously, the experience just playing together. Now, maybe Dame can carry them early on if there's no Giannis in the first couple of games. They've done it before when Giannis has missed time in some of these series. Some of those series they did go on to win despite missing their superstar. But different scenario, as you started this whole conversation, Tass, than that team that eventually won the championship over the Suns, where he missed that series, the end of the series against the Hawks.
Yeah, and this team just feels old. Let's just put it simple as that.
Yeah.
It definitely feels that way. Patrick Beverley got the start yesterday, which is a good sign for Malik Beasley. And I say it's a good sign because it's happened before with Malik Beasley. I don't know why I didn't call this. I mean, when he was with the Los Angeles Lakers yesterday, they yanked him. Last year, they yanked him out of the starting lineup. Patrick Beverley, though, he was talking about on his podcast that he's got surgery coming, that he's avoiding it to play in the postseason, and everybody just in general is a little bit older. I will say, though, the positive also for the Bucks, Chris Middleton fought through it in this game and was the reason in the fourth quarter that they came back and were able to hold on to it as a win, I should say, because he was coming back from an injury where he was suffered the mouth trauma, literally. Mm-hmm. It's called mouth trauma, where he had to go see the dentist and he had somebody fall on his back as well. But he came back and he is a key guy to this team. So there's positives. A new starting lineup, I think, with Patrick Beverley is a positive, that there's an attitude with that defense. And the fact that they beat the Boston Celtics twice this season and they lost to them twice, so a 2-2 season series, not bad at all when you look at those losses by a total of 6 points combined. So they can look at it and be like, hey, we can play this team. But they also, they could literally fall down the standings here as they have a back-to-back tonight. I don't know where they're going to finish. Who knows? They could finish third. So there's lots of pauses, but so many negatives, I think, for this Bucks.
Extremely weird game last night between the Bucks and Celtics. Combined for a record low, 2 free throw attempts.
Love it.
2 in the entire game. The Celtics became the first team in NBA history to not shoot a free throw, which is insane. That's a record they're just going to hold for the rest of time. No one will ever be able to beat them at that one. I saw Doc Rivers after the game say, Adam Silver's got to be loving this, to paraphrase. Said he'd be the happiest. 157 game time. My goodness, you can go to a game and still have dinner. Unbelievable. That's what Doc said. But this is,
put it on a quote graphic.
I think the previous record was 11 combined free throws in a game. For two teams, obviously. I think it was maybe a Pacers Magic game where it was like 6-5. 2! It was Giannis, right? He was the only one that went to the line.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he split a pair before the injury. So.
Yeah, the Bucks.
Weird.
The Celtics are a little bit in chill mode.
Like, oh,
they got
absolutely
nothing to play for.
No Porzingis last night. No Horford. And yes, chill mode, I think, is
no
fair
fouls
to say.
That's what
just
they're doing.
Don't
right
get
now
injured was their game plan, I think.
Yeah.
And they successfully did that. Unfortunately, the Bucks and Giannis didn't. I want to show you the East standings. Obviously, a ton more games, and we can talk about some of these Eastern Conference games, and then we'll move to the West. But you see it there, Boston clearly ahead of the Bucks. It was a big win, I guess, for Milwaukee in the end, because you had the Knicks also winning. Mm-hmm. Now the Magic dropped a bad one, and then it's just jumbled there from the Cavs all the way down to sort of the 8th seed, Miami Heat. It's still very, very close here in the final week. But any of those other results jump out to you from last night in the East, at least?
Well, I will say, just looking at the standings, we could have four teams finish 49-33. How fun will that be? 2 through 5 right now. They could finish 49-33. And I just keep thinking about Giannis. He's going to get 11 to 12 days off before the first game of round one. He could come back, but I'm still not buying it. So I keep trying to be positive about it, but Damian Lillard was asked about it by The Athletic's Eric Name. You got injured. Your calf was injured last year. How was that? I was freaking irritated, is what he said. I came back after 2 weeks, and my soleus, part of his calf, came back, and I was just irritated all season. So I think the other team's got to feel good, even though the Knicks are playing without Julius Randle. I mean, they looked... They looked awesome last night.
Yeah. Jalen Brunson was on fire. I think he had 45 points on 24 shots, and he just couldn't miss. He was in complete control of the game for New York, so getting a win there, they could easily move up into the 2 seed, and that's probably good for them if they finish in the 2 seed, just because, I don't know. The Knicks have been playing awesome. They're a little bit healthier. Obviously, no Randle, but at least they know that going into the playoffs, and OG is back. That being said, I'm a little concerned about the Knicks having an extra playoff gear. I've seen this with Tom Thibodeau teams before where everybody plays 40 minutes a game, so you can't play them more minutes when it comes playoff time. Like, what more can Jalen Brunson do?
He can't. He can't do more than what he did with 45 points. He was getting MVP chance in Chicago because that's where he's from. Literally, in Chicago, he was getting MVP chance. He is a beast, but I do think this will be his best postseason ever. And that's saying a lot because last year he was awesome. He averaged almost 28 points per game. But he's making everybody dance. He had Clyde Frazier, the Knicks broadcaster. The Knicks broadcaster say yesterday while watching this game said, "Folks, I was a 7-time All-NBA defense. You got to put him on his butt." I'm talking about Jalen Brunson, a guy he broadcasts and say, "You got to put that dude on his butt because he is so freaking good." It's really up to DiVincenzo and OG Anunoby and every single guy that he passes to hit those threes because the doubles are coming. We broke them down. Hartenstein's going to get the ball. That floater is freaking on fire right now. Those guys are going to have to hit shots for Jalen Brunson to continue what he's doing because they're going to double. Everybody's going to double this guy.
Do you think Quentin Grimes will help the Knicks in the playoffs?
hey, man. I've said things wrong on a podcast before.
Yeah. Sure. Not usually a guy that's not on the team, but it's your hometown team. I think you usually have the Bulls roster down pat.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think he's trying to talk about Miles McBride. But
mixed up?
Yeah, but Grimes does stink. That's the other thing. He stinks. He had one good season last year. I thought the Pacers had a nice win. It started off ugly. I was like, ooh, they cannot lose this one to the Raptors. But then they bounced back and scored 40 in the second quarter, 41 in the second quarter, and ended up scoring 140 on a Raptors team that's ready for the draft lottery, I would say. But
oh, we've been ready.
Yeah, I
know. Raptors fans are happy they chose a direction, and the direction is to the draft lottery.
It absolutely is. Yeah. Oh, my God. They're just fingers crossed it goes higher than maybe holding on to their pick there and not having it go to the Spurs.
Officially sitting guys. No fines because they're not nationally televised games. But literally, it's against the whole rule that the NBA made in the preseason. Emmanuel Quickley is sitting now for rest. Now? Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. For the Knicks to sort of catch the Bucks, you guys were talking about that, going to be tough because the Bucks do have a head-to-head tiebreaker, so they are going to have to, like, make up 2 games on them for the Knicks to get past Milwaukee there. But then, yeah, you guys said we're talking about that sort of 6-7-8 there with the results last night. Indiana holds a 1-game lead over Philadelphia for the 6th spot. Miami barely behind them. 2 of those 3 teams, again, Indiana, Philly, Miami, they feel like they're going to be playing in at least that 7-8 matchup, right? We know it's going to be Hawks-Bulls in 9-10. The Heat have 3 games left, all at home. They host the Mavericks tonight, red-hot Dallas Mavericks, followed by 2 games against the Toronto Raptors.
Hey,
so those could be 2 wins.
Yeah, those are nice.
The Sixers also are at home the rest of the way. Huge game Friday against Orlando, and then a season finisher against Brooklyn. And then the Pacers have to go to Cleveland, who Indiana does trail by half a game, or 1.5 game, something like that. Very close. Oh, yeah, it was half game. For 5th in the East, and then they host the Hawks. So huge next games here, I'm saying. Like, for the Pacers with that Cleveland one, obviously for the Sixers with that Magic one, the Heat, you know, and this Dallas one. Like, that's not the hottest team in the league right now. And we saw the Heat need a double overtime to beat the Hawks, too.
That was an ugly overtime. Yeah. Both of them. Like, yeah. Jimmy Butler was... about as brutal as he could be. I thought he was terrible in the fourth quarter overtime and then into the second overtime. They just got lucky that everybody on the court was exhausted by the time second overtime came, and Tyler Hero was actually able to score a couple of buckets, but Butler, like, he couldn't get by anybody. He was getting eaten alive by DeAndre Hunter on the defensive end, and then Hero couldn't get a touch for the longest time because DeJounte Murray was all over him. So, yeah, I mean, the Heat, you're supposed to be scared of them going into the playoffs, but their clutch offense is really, really bad, and it kind of comes down to Jimmy, can you hit an impossible shot? Last night, he was not able to hit impossible shots, though he did go 10 for 13 from the free throw line, but I think he missed two in the fourth quarter as well. Unable to put the Hawks away, but they got the dub, and now the Bulls have, you don't get a magic number when you're playing for the 9 and 10 seed. That's not what it's called. It needs something else, but a combination of a Bulls win and a Hawks loss, their number is 2 to clinch the 9th seed. It also shouldn't be called clinching. You can't clinch with a magic number when you're under 500 playing for the 9-10 seed. What is that called? It's not a tragic number. It's not like you're being eliminated from the playoffs.
But it's not magical.
It ain't magical.
No, it's something. I saw I had John Hollinger looking up hotels in Chicago because he wanted to stay here in Atlanta for that 9-10 game. Yeah. Looks like he's headed to Illinois.
That's tough. Tough, Johnny. It's Orlando tragic for you, man. This was just a wild night. Wild that the Magic lost to the Houston Rockets, and they have two more games against the Milwaukee Bucks, so that should right the way for them going into the postseason, but I am interested in to see how teams in the East finish off, like the Miami Heat, who do not look right, like the Cleveland Cavaliers, where Donovan Mitchell does not look right coming back from that knee injury, sitting out a back-to-back, and just everything from Donovan Mitchell just doesn't look absolutely right. So the Cavs, I say it's all complicated, and four teams can finish at 49-33, but yeah, some teams are just playing better than the others, and that's for sure. And then you get to throw a Joel Embiid in there. I mean,
the Sixers are playing the best right now. I mean, they're on a 6-game win streak. Again, the Celtics have taken their foot off the gas, and rightfully so. But yeah, Sixers are trying to climb out of the play-in and maybe even host a first-round playoff series. It's still in the mix when you look ahead of them there. They're only a game and a half behind the Magic. They're only two games behind the Knicks, and there's still, you know, two or three games for most of these teams left. All right, let's pivot to the West here. Some also wild results last night. The Warriors made 26 three-pointers. Draymond Green hit 5 in the first half as they beat the Lakers. No AD for LA, 134 to 120, and this is big when you're looking at the play-in and who's hosting. This is the West version of Hawks Bulls, but
both teams are good teams.
Teams that have won championships and are actually pretty good with superstar players. Yeah,
and have been playing awesome in the second half of the season, but cannot get out of the 9th or 10th seed. I guess the Lakers did get up to 8th over the weekend for 24 hours. But weird one, because LeBron James didn't show up until like an hour before the game started. I saw Dave McMenamin was tweeting all night, like, LeBron's not here yet. LeBron just showed up. He still doesn't know if he's going to play, but he kind of had to play because Anthony Davis was unable to go because the guy keeps getting poked in the eye, and it is causing problems for him. They don't want to say he's in the concussion protocol, but he's got headaches and he's got nausea. So who knows what's happening, but no AD meant that the Lakers, I thought, were completely overhelping in this one. They wanted to give up threes to Draymond Green, just like Draymond wanted to do it to Jaylen Brown back in the day. Just like Jaylen did to Draymond Green, Draymond made the Lakers pay 5 for 5, like you said, Skeets, in the first half. At one point, Kevin Harlan screamed, "Draymond Green has a flamethrower! Words I never thought I'd say!" It's on a national broadcast. They're like, this guy is broke. But he was hitting last night, and the three-pointers were just wide open for Golden State because of the leaving people open, and because anytime there was penetration, it was like 5 guys in the lane, we can't give up a layup, kick it out for an easy one. 35 of Golden State's attempts were considered open or wide open per NBA.com's tracking data. They made 24 of those. That's 68.5%. On the night, they shot 63.5%, 26 for 41, which is the best field goal percentage from distance in a game in NBA history with a minimum of 40 attempts. You thought the Warriors were done setting three-point records. I guess not.
Yeah.
That one caught me by surprise. I was like, whoa, okay, that's a new one. Yeah.
Yeah, to see Draymond Green hit threes, it's been a while. He hit 5 threes. The last time he did that was 2017. That's 7 years ago. The 15th time in his career, though, he's made at least 5 threes. It's a little surprising. The most we all remember when we think about it is a playoff game, Game 7 of the 2016 Finals. That was a good one. He had eight. That being said, I think we are sort of over... We're just skipping one part of the Golden State Warriors and what they've been doing recently. Jonathan Kuminga is out of the starting lineup. Trayce Jackson-Davis and Draymond Green are the 5-4 with Andrew Wiggins sitting beside them. And Draymond Green loves doing that defensively. Loves being able to take a little bit more of a risk because Trayce Jackson-Davis is so reliable behind him. And that's a great thing for the Golden State Warriors defensively because that's what they are, where they're trying to find themselves and where they make their money, really. I know they're a great offensive team, but they need to be a great defensive team. And this starting lineup that is going to go in the playoffs that way with Kuminga coming off the bench, which everybody ridiculed Steve Kerr about for a while, is different now with a rookie in Trayce Jackson-Davis who can play center. So they control their own destiny here for the ninth seed. They should be, at the very least, hosting a play-in tournament game against the Los Angeles Lakers. But in a weird way, in some weird math, they can even climb up in the play-in tournament. But no. I doubt that's going to happen.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's move to the Clippers. They built a 31-point lead in the first quarter. I know you guys saw the score going around on Twitter last night. It looked fake. And they held on to beat the Suns 105-92. So we also had like the Wolves, and we'll get to Ant's big game, and the Nuggets. They won and the Thunder won. So the Clippers are mathematically out of a top three seed in the West. They cannot get into that top three because those teams all won last night. But a big win still in terms of standings. It's probably even a worse loss, really, if we're being honest, for the Suns getting down huge and then just where they're sort of free-falling at the wrong time here in the Western Conference standings. But any thoughts on this game from the Clips?
Yeah, it's tough to be the Suns and play the Clips after an eclipse. They were right. Destined to lose this game. So get your glasses out. Yesterday we were talking about teams that the top seeds in the Western Conference want to avoid. You and I both said the Suns were scary. They're not. They're not going to be able to put together seven games of reliable basketball. They didn't have, I mean, they had Beal out there. They had Booker. They had Durant. They should at least compete. And this was a terrible loss for them. 50 points in the paint for the Clippers. They shot 57% on twos. Plus, they hit 12 threes, shooting them at 46%. Russell Westbrook had a triple-double. He was rocking the baby. You got beat by a bench guy. This is terrible for the Suns.
It was 37-6 at one point. The score looking like a football game score there. A big blowout.
They did fight back, but it's difficult to assess what this team will be over a playoff series. It's totally true. It's difficult. They do have some fight. I mean, Devin Booker was a stinky game. Had a stinky game, and the fact that he only hit one shot from the floor, obviously. I am happy that the Clippers are playing the Dallas Mavericks in the playoffs. It's a 4-5 lock. That's what's going to happen in the playoffs. Who the Suns will play is a mystery because they could literally land in a play-in.
Yeah.
And it looks like the Pelicans will hold on to that sixth seed, but TBD still on that.
You're excited though about a Clips Mavs run it back,
yeah,
where everybody's convinced themselves the Dallas Mavericks and Luka at least took one, if not two, of those series. But as Trey said last week, it's like, no, the Clippers actually did advance both times. Just Luka had monster numbers and some memorable moments, but LA does have Dallas's number. Completely different Dallas Mavericks team here for the most part.
Yeah.
Especially since the All-Star break and the trade deadline, really, with the new pieces. But that should be good. That might be might be the most, well, there's going to be a lot of great matchups. So that's definitely an intriguing one, 4-5 oh, yeah. Clips Mavs.
Yeah, it feels like people are going to be fighting in that series. Yeah. Like people are going to be fighting for Luka to win a series against the LA Clippers. Like, that's what they have to play for. He just can't like the fact that the Clippers own him. He can't like that. yeah, him and Kyrie playing together in the playoffs here for the first time is something, for sure. That's going to be fun. And the Clippers are playing for something as well. This, hopefully they're healthy, because every single postseason you went through the Bucks injuries every postseason. You could do the same for the Clippers, right. That's for sure.
Yeah, Harden didn't play last night. Yeah. Kawhi didn't play last night.
Yeah. They still got it done. Just smoked hammered.
Them. They
hammered
them.
The Suns. Anthony Edwards scored a career-high 51 points. He was letting everybody know he scored over 50 with the five in the O there.
Yeah,
five in the fist. As the Wolves rallied, I mean, they were down to the Washington Wizards, but came back and won pretty comfortably, 130 to 121. I guess the Nut Dust Bowl is still not technically over. I'm up two games. My Wizards are on your Pistons. If they had won last night, it was a wrap. But Anthony Edwards said, no, let's have some stakes still when it comes to the Nut Dust Bowl standings. But yeah, Ant, special game. And they are looking like they, you know, huge game tonight between the Wolves and the Nuggets.
Huge game.
For that number one seed. And Ant was talking about it after. Like, yeah, the stakes are there. This is an important one to have that number one seed. But any thoughts there, TK?
Yeah, in Denver tonight. So advantage Nuggets. And I think probably advantage Nuggets, because they took care of business last night. And though the Wolves did eventually take care of business, a lot of effort going into beating the Wizards before you got to go play the second night of a back-to-back in the biggest game of the season. But big shout out to Anthony Edwards, 51 points, doing it for 50 Cent.
Oh, yeah.
50 Cent sitting courtside at a Timberwolves game.
He got up.
That was weird to me.
Yeah, has that ever been done? I don't think I've seen 50 Cent.
In Minnesota?
No. Not a chance. Yeah, Lizzo wasn't there. I didn't see her. She's been at games before, but he got up for Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards was doing it for that guy. There's
no
doubt.
Which I think is kind of surprising, because if you're being generous with 50 Cent's career, his last big hit was AO Technology. A duet with Justin Timberlake from 2007 when Anthony Edwards was 6 years old.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know if he's a big 50 Cent fan.
That long ago? I mean,
we're old, man.
To me, his biggest hit recently was being at the Super Bowl last year. Like, that's a hit.
That's a good point.
That's what he's known for, I would say.
Yeah, that's a great point. Those 20-year-old songs he was doing. That being said, I do think Anthony Edwards, never thought about this. He's got a little 50 Cent in him. He's funny. He's generally good-natured, despite being a scary guy sometimes. You know, 50 Cent has the background of the streets being shot all those times. They both love to stir the pot, but they've got a charismatic smile so that nobody holds it against them. And they're like, oh, doing it again. Anthony Edwards, maybe he's the 50 Cent of the NBA. He was also in MJ mode last night. I think he had at least three turnaround fadeaways in the post. The last one, even he was impressed with. He was doing it to the sidelines. I thought that was cool. Put the team on his back, said, we need to get this win if we're staying in the mix here. You would have liked it to be a little bit easier, I think, if you are a Minnesota fan, but at least they did it.
Yeah, we need to beat the Washington Wizards, which, yeah, it stinks for them that it comes down to the last second, basically. It comes down to the end of the game to beat the Washington Wizards, because you got to go play Denver for the number one seed the next night. So that does stink. It was surprising to see the Washington Wizards up 21 points and holding on to a double-digit lead for a long time in this one. Not surprising to see Jordan Poole kind of chill out in lots of possessions. It's always hilarious. But then Nuggets-Wolves game is going to be fun tonight. That's for sure.
So let's quickly look at the Western Conference standings. Obviously, I said it's 1-2-3 Minnesota-Denver-OKC, because the Thunder did get a win there. Yeah, it's Clips-Mavs. We're looking like that 4-5. Pelicans holding on to the sixth spot. They're a game clear of the Suns. The Kings, they're down to eighth. It could still get worse because the Lakers are a half game back, and then the Warriors are in 10th, but they're a half game back of the Lakers. If they win outright, they're looking pretty good. But I do like the top six teams in the Western Conference right now. They're all on a nice little winning streak, if you count two games as a streak. But everybody's playing well right now, especially the Clippers and Mavericks, having won four straight, both of those teams. So playing pretty solid basketball here right now. Any other thoughts on any of those games or any of the games last night? Again, 14 on. A lot of them with stakes.
The people are saying that 50 Cent does some sort of business with the Minnesota Timberwolves with one of his...
Really?
things he does. Okay. Off the mic. Definitely. I don't know what he does.
He does a lot of businesses, that's for sure.
He's a businessman at this point.
He's done very well.
He's not a
well.
Rapper. I mean,
no.
We haven't heard a new 50 Cent song in 15 years, it sounds like. No. But I thought a bad loss for the Kings. They are struggling. Yeah. Right now, they're up 20 at halftime against OKC. This was a first half leads are not real kind of game because it ended up being a plus 26 for OKC in the second half, and they just could not stop Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the clutch. I think he scored the last 6 points maybe for OKC. Hit a crazy shot, grifted some free throws, and then just made a whole bunch of plays. The Kings could very easily drop into the bottom half of the play-in bracket here because they play the Pelicans, they play the Suns, and then they have the Trailblazers last game of the season. But Pels and Suns both playing for something, and those wins would actually mean something against a Kings team who they're all in the same stratosphere of the standings here. So losing Kevin Huerter, losing Malik Monk, it has turned out to be bad for the Kings.
And then, like, recently they had that game against the Celtics where they had come back and were even leading, and then they lose. I think, was it Tillman, right? He had a big shot Boston to win it. It's like, yeah, there's like all these close. Either they have big leads and they give them up, or they just lose these close ones. They all matter here, and that's why the Kings have found themselves in the play-in, and their season is just sort of falling apart. Oh, the Sabonis double-double streak even came to an end.
No!
It's over, man. It's over. So, yeah.
What a run.
Rough right now. All right, well, unless you have any other thoughts on those games last night, let's pivot to the up-down report.
Prepare your thumbies. It's the up-down report.
Yeah, thumbs up or down. We'll start in Chicago, where the Bulls served up a Shaqton moment for the ages. Torrey Craig, channeling his inner Tracy McGrady on the break. He tried to throw the ball to himself for a dunk off the backboard, but Andre Drummond thought the pass was for him or just really wanted the rebound. And yeah, they both collide in midair. Don't score. Blown possession. Had Twitter going nuts. So the up-down is Drummond and Torrey Craig delivering the low light of the season. Thumbs up if you believe that's true. Down if you've got something better. TK?
I mean, this is two thumbs up for me. This is pure cinema. This is why we watch these late season basketball games. I caught this live. I was so happy to see it. Torrey Craig, man, give it up. Literally pass the ball. Not to yourself. Yeah. I'm watching this, and here was my thought process. Oh, nice steal. He's going to dish it to Coby White for the easy layup.
Yeah.
Then I thought he's going to take it in himself for an easy dunk or a layup, which, you know, I think would be a selfish play, considering there's a 3-on-0 fast break. Fair. Then I'm kind of with Andre Drummond here. When he threw it off the glass, I thought it was going to Drummond as well, because why would Torrey Craig be throwing himself an alley-oop off the glass down 9 in the first quarter? Have you ever seen Torrey Craig do anything like this?
That's why I said he was channeling his inner Tracy McGrady. I'm like, why would you think that?
Unbelievable. A lot of people were blaming Drummond, but it's completely on Torrey Craig to be here. That being said, this was hilarious. Breakfast table worthy. I'm like, girls, you've been awake 5 minutes. You need to see this.
Oh. And what did they think? Were they laughing at
them? Oh, they
were
dying laughing. Yeah, they loved it.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, of course it's thumbs up. Okay. Torrey Craig just wanted to have one of those before he has to retire, really. That's what it comes down to. He's 33 years old. He's hanging on. You know what? We're not playing for much. Let me just throw it off the backboard to myself. He's never done that in his NBA career. There's no possible way.
No.
He's done that. It stinks because Drummond has to do that, and then eventually he gets injured in this game.
I guess he didn't get injured on that particular play, but soon after, right?
Yeah.
Next possession. Stepped on a foot. Yeah,
so if it was that one, that would have been ridiculously bad. But the internet is great for moments like that because they break down every little thing, and you can break down every little thing in that one to see Coby White's face watching from the 3-on-0, wondering what the heck
what
are we doing?
What is going on?
Just having to stare at that thing. The internet was good last night.
Yeah, there is a photo from the backboard camera and, like, Torrey Craig realizing that Drummond's reaching for it behind him. It's an iconic photo. And, yeah, you can zoom in on Coby, like you said, Taz. You can zoom on some of the Knicks players. Like, what is going on? Pretty funny. Pretty funny. And, like, I mean, yeah, I guess they're in the play-in, and it's not like they're moving up into the playoffs, but they are playing still, technically, for home court advantage in the 9-10, so pretty wild to bust that out at this part.
He said he's trying to get the crowd back into it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, I guess it
would have worked, man. They would have went crazy if he throws that one down.
I guess he didn't really know Andre Drummond was behind him, or just thought Drummond would just stop.
I assume he didn't realize he was right behind him. Yeah. And then he might be thinking you're throwing it off the glass to him.
Weird stuff, man.
To the big penguin. Oh, iconic stuff there. Well, sticking with the Bulls, Coach Billy Donovan said he has not had any contact with the University of Kentucky about its men's basketball coaching gig and reiterated his commitment to the Bulls prior to last night's game. Maybe he's thinking differently after that Drummond-Torrey Craig play. But John Calipari's sudden departure after 15 seasons as coach over the weekend left Kentucky without a head coach, and Donovan's name has been speculated as one of the Wildcats' top targets. So up or down, let's start again with you, Trey, because this is your team here. Up or down on Billy Donovan potentially leaving the Bulls for Kentucky after this season?
I guess I would say like a three quarters up here, because you can understand why Billy Donovan is a target for Kentucky. He's got two NCAA championships with Florida, the previous team to go back to back. He's obviously got a Kentucky pedigree. He got his start coaching with Rick Pitino, was an assistant for the Wildcats from 89 to 94. There's maybe not a lot keeping him in Chicago, as he has a 489 winning percentage with the Bulls, and they're, you know, he had back-to-back championships in college, back-to-back play-in appearances here in Chicago. Oh,
put the banner up.
Put it right up there next to the six titles. Back-to-back play-in appearances.
They should do that.
Not even getting out. But he did sign an extension before the 22-23 season, so before last season.
Yeah.
There is not a ton of pressure in Chicago, as Darnell Mayberry pointed out at The Athletic. He also said prior to this game that nobody's been in contact from Kentucky yet, but I guess the Calipari stuff is supposed to happen. I guess it was supposed to happen yesterday.
Yeah,
right?
he officially announced it on social media yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe it happens, but I think what would have to happen is that Kentucky overpays Billy Donovan. I think Calipari at one point was like on a 10-year contract, $8.6 million every year, and Billy Donovan has basically been on like $6 million contracts since he's been coaching with the Bulls. So maybe if Kentucky says, we'll give you 6 years, $60 million, $10 million, $10 million a season, maybe that lures him away, but I think Billy Donovan will probably be the Bulls coach again next year.
It's all about the dollars to me. If he wants to go get paid more, it sure seems like that's the thing, because it's not all Billy's fault that this team has fallen apart here with Zach LaVine out. If Lonzo Ball plays a couple years ago, this whole team, this whole thing could be different for Billy Donovan. And they started 5-14 this year, obviously turned it around. So yeah, it's whether Billy wants a new job, really, is what it comes down to. It's Billy's life. I have no idea what the status is. But as far as him in Chicago, I'm sure his team likes him.
Yeah. They said in that ESPN article about this, sources told ESPN Bulls are happy with the coaching job that Billy Donovan has done all season after the rough start there at 5-14 to now potentially host a play-in game in the 9-10. The record is better. It's better, and they've had some big wins against good teams, but yeah, I guess it's pretty rare. I guess I'm down on this likely happening, because pretty rare once a college coach with a pedigree and maybe titles or whatever, Final Four appearances, comes to the NBA and gets one of those only 30 jobs in the world, very rare for them to then return and go back to a collegiate program, even if it was, you know, one esteemed as Kentucky. So, yeah. Billy, what do you want to do? You got 2 years left on this deal here, too. Like you were talking about, Trey. So
well,
not
the Bulls,
probably not.
The Bulls have had a coach go back to college.
They did.
Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah, that's true. How long did he coach the Bulls?
It was a quickie.
Two or three seasons.
Oh, was it as long as
seasons,
that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, thought it was quicker. Yeah. All right, we'll see what Billy decides to do. There's obviously a bunch of other names in the running for that Kentucky job. Okay, moving on. According to The Athletic's Tim Kawakami, the Orlando Magic are reportedly interested in acquiring Klay Thompson this summer. The veteran sharpshooter is currently in the final months of his contract and will become an unrestricted free agent once the season ends. So up or down, we'll spin it this way, up or down on the Magic, again, reportedly eyeing Klay Thompson in free agency. And I would add to that, like, being aggressive in trying to get Klay Thompson from the Warriors in free agency.
I'll go up on that. This is exactly the type of player that they need. A guy who is willing and ready and welcome to shoot every three he gets. The Orlando Magic are last in the NBA in terms of threes made per game. They're below average in the percentage that they make. They need a three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, I know, is getting up there in age and isn't incredible defensively. It's just not what he does anymore. He's still solid. And you put that together with a really, really, really good defensive team. That means he'll be even better. I think that's just a good guy to go get, because you just want a guy who can shoot. And the Golden State Warriors and their future, I am not convinced, is going to be the same big three going forward, same thing that they're going to roll back again, even though they look a lot better now. And I mentioned Trayce Jackson-Davis at the five with Kuminga at the three. If he takes over for Wiggins, it looks like the best that they've been all season. But I don't know if they roll back Draymond Green again. Chris Paul's, that would mean, sorry, that Draymond Green would have to be dealt because he is under contract. Chris Paul's money is not guaranteed next year for $30 million. Maybe they change it up a little bit. It's possible. Mm-hmm. It is possible. Do they want to go back again with the same thing? I'm not 100% convinced. So I think there's two sides to it. I think it makes sense for the Magic, and it may make sense for the Golden State Warriors.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think two sides to it, which is why I'm sideways, because I think the Magic should completely overpay Klay Thompson to try and get him for all the reasons Tass said. He's a great shooter. He's shooting 41% from three in the second half of the season here. He's still obviously a scary shooter as well, and he doesn't necessarily need the ball in his hands, which is going to be the case playing for the Magic, where Big Rig Paolo Banchero will be handling the ball a whole bunch. Franz Wagner will be handling the ball a whole bunch. You don't necessarily need your guard to be a creator, but you do absolutely need him to shoot. And you need his veteranship, I think, would help. He'd be like bringing in Joe Ingles this season for the Magic, except for Klay is still better than Joe Ingles is at this point in their careers. And I think the Magic would completely be able to cover up Klay's defensive weaknesses, because everybody else on the court plays really solid defense, and Klay at least buys in. He just doesn't have the lateral quickness he used to have. That being said, I think it's more likely he sticks with the Warriors, because they just seem to be running it back. Steph Curry's got 2 years left on his contract. Draymond Green's got 2 years left on his contract. Then player option for the third season after that. Wiggins has 2 years left on his contract, and then a player option after that. So my guess is that Klay Thompson is getting a 2-year contract from the Warriors with a slight pay cut to stay around.
Before the start of the season, I think Shams reported that the Warriors offered Klay a 2-year, $48 million contract extension. So maybe that's the starting point, TK, and how much more are they willing to offer? Do they get scared of a number? Do the Magic come in way over the top with their offer?
So it was 48 for 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That was at the start of the season, and then Klay looked pretty bad for a while, has got it going recently. The fact that he's even played this many games is pretty astonishing for a guy with 2 years of, like, really bad injuries. Yeah. But
that's what he said is the thing he's most pride about, is that he's coming out and playing, and he's shooting it ridiculously well. So for $24 million, I know it sounds like a lot of money, but in the NBA, it's not a lot of money, and it's not a lot of money for what he's coming from. He's $43 million this year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's an icon. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He is what the Golden State Warriors will probably pay for. If they get for 24, I think that they would be extremely happy.
But Joe Lacob has said that the Warriors want to get all the way out of the luxury tax this summer, which is possible, but you got to get creative or be disciplined with a Klay contract. You can't go crazy with that payment. Obviously, the Chris Paul equation of it all, that he would probably be likely gone. That's what he said. You know, maybe he changes his tune if they suddenly make another, run here or get out of the play-in and win in first round or two. Who knows? I'm with you guys on the Magic being the team that should be really aggressive in trying to get him on a short-term deal. I think that's the important part. I saw Sam Quinn at CBS Sports. He noted that the Magic are basically in a use-it-or-lose-it phase of having cap space, because Franz Wagner and Suggs become extension eligible this offseason, but those deals don't kick in until 25-26. So that gives you this 24 offseason to sort of spend a little bit of that cap space for a guy like him that could help, obviously, with your shooting, just a guy that's been through a million playoff series as they try and take a next level. As long as it's, we're not talking, and I don't think we are here, like 3-4 type deal years for Klay. If it's just more money than 2 for $48, they could do it, and it's not like going to kill their future and some of their building blocks moving forward. So we'll see. Final one here. We addressed it briefly on yesterday's show, but let's show it to you now. During the total eclipse on Monday, Nike unveiled a new logo for the alien Victor Wembanyama design. You see it there. It's an alien inside a basketball. I'm convinced those are two little feet, but maybe not. And we got the Nike checks there as well on the side. Up or down, gentlemen, on Nike's new Wemby Alien logo? We like it. We hate it. Indifferent.
I like it. Yeah, yeah, I like it. I think this is maybe the best new NBA logo since Derrick Rose got a logo Adidas. That one was sick. That one like came out. I'm like, whoa, look at that. It's a rose with a one in the middle of it. Whoa, it's an alien in a basketball. Put it on an airbrushed t-shirt, but it's not his number or his name just like smashed together.
Yeah.
It's not a VW like a Volkswagen out there. Exactly right. They're like, oh, Van Wilder scooped us with Ryan Reynolds wearing that backwards hat. But yeah, this looks nice. Alien is going to stick as a nickname for Victor Wembanyama.
Really will, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Tass, you agree? You like it?
Yes, I do like it. And I know that people are going to basically design his face into that logo. They're going to meld Wembanyama's face into that logo. It's going to happen a lot. They're going to call him the alien over and over and over again. I get that. He does things differently. He is huge. He will pull every single move on a basketball floor that a guard would, not a 7'4", 7'5" guy, as we saw yesterday with the Sham God.
Yeah, we've got that. Him dropping the Sham God into the spin and
he
then
keeps
the
doing that.
Go-Go Gadget arm layup. Like, this
he
is
loves the Sham
in
God.
Traffic, in the paint, basically. Yeah. I mean, all season long. Every game now, it's, whoa, never seen that from a guy that big. Whoa, never seen that box score from a guy that big. You know, it's wild. The amount of things they can do with the alien sort of motif, too, like, I don't know. You have a lot of fun with the commercials and obviously the advertising and stuff like that.
They should do like guerrilla marketing where they go out and literally do crop circles with the big alien thing.
They should have done that before this.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would have been really... They just start appearing.
Whoa. What is that? What does it mean? Are those Nike checks? Do you think it's for Wembanyama?
Aliens wear Nikes? What? Heaven's Gate was right.
All right. So thumbs up or thumbs down on the Wemby logo? Any other thoughts?
Well,
on it?
They're going to also put an alien on the basketball floor. Every single person who is going to create anything using basketball play will make him an alien.
I mean,
yesterday the Grizzlies were on a 3-on-1, and Wembanyama was just in the middle, right? And they should literally go to the rim. They should shoot over him, and they decide,
they're terrified.
No way we're doing that. We're going for a 3-point shot. Like, someone will just make that Wemby an alien. You know, there's going to be so many aliens on a basketball floor. Why would you want to go near an alien? Well, because he's freaking awesome. So that makes sense. The logo will be an alien, will be Wemby. There's just going to be a lot happening. The dude, now the fourth player with 1,000 points, 250 assists, and 250 blocks in a season, joining Kareem, David Robinson, and Akeem. Andrew Lopez tweeted that. I mean, he is just like, he's just special, man.
We said before that he does remind me of the movie Signs when we got that video footage from like the Mexican birthday party. Remember that? Like, down the hall, the alien goes through. Mm-hmm. He's got the same legit body shape as that alien. So maybe they'll just remake Signs and just place him in it as the actual alien.
You're right about
then
the
Phoenix
walk.
Phoenix will have to take a baseball bat to his head.
Hope he's not allergic to water.
So, yeah, I was going to say, you can beat him with water. Wow.
Have we ever seen him drink?
We figured it out how to stop him. All right, let's hear from everybody watching live, listening later. Thumbs up or thumbs down on all four of those. Talking about the Bulls low light, Billy Donovan possibly coaching Kentucky, Klay Thompson maybe aggressively being pursued by the Magic, and then Wembanyama's logo.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Before we go, tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Wow, I have a doozy for you guys. This is a story. Tweet of the night. Somebody paid for the blue check for this one because there's a lot of characters, but it's sort of funny. Okay, it's from at Jake and Ball. An average man gets stuck in a time loop. And the only way to escape is to beat LeBron James at basketball in a one-on-one game to 11 points. Ones and twos, make it take it. How long until he gets out? Now, the average man has never played basketball. Each time he loses, the loop resets, and LeBron will not remember any of the previous games. But the average man will, so in theory, could get better. Cheating is utterly impossible. He will not age or die. You will not go insane, and you can play as many times, or he will play as many times as needed to win. Mm-hmm. And then the question on this is, how many times does he need to play to win and escape the time loop?
Win? You're asking, how many times does yes. he have to play to win?
Beat LeBron
James. I was thinking, how many times does he have to play to score once?
Score once, yeah.
He's never going to win.
Never? Especially, infinity?
Infinity.
Wow.
Especially, I think the negative is LeBron will never remember a previous game, so he's going to play to win.
Right.
Like, he might screw with the guy who can't play basketball.
There was a follow-up question about, like, yeah, does LeBron at any point, like, just, like, not care, give up? But the thinking was, no, that's not true. He's always giving a damn enough to play at his level of LeBron James.
Infinity level for me. Wow. I don't think he'll ever win. He's LeBron's going to care, I assume. So this guy's not going to win.
Yeah, but he's going to be this average man. My good friend Average Man will be learning from the best possible teacher. Every game he plays is against LeBron James. Who better to learn from?
Okay.
They beat the aliens in Edge of Tomorrow, eventually. Tom Cruise eventually hacks the system and figures out the problem. So LeBron, he's been one of the best basketball players in the world since 2000. Basically, right? Like, I mean, he was still a high schooler back then, but he was one of the best basketball players on earth. He's played 68,172 minutes in the NBA between the playoffs and the regular season. He played in high school. He played international competitions, and he's obviously practiced a lot. So I'm estimating LeBron has played at least 100,000 minutes of basketball.
Sure.
If these games take 5 minutes, I think it takes a minimum of 20,000 games. Until you're as good as LeBron James.
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to improve. Like Tom Cruise can learn how to use a computer. This guy, especially because I'm influenced by this photo where this man is half of LeBron's size. He literally looks like he's...
That's Chris Hardwick.
Okay, he's not Chris... Yeah, it's Chris Hardwick. Okay, half is an exaggeration. Chris Hardwick, I would say, is 5'10 or something. I'm guessing.
Probably, yeah.
That looks like his hair is puffed a little bit, but I assume that's about a foot difference between LeBron James. Like Tom Cruise, with your comparison there, a guy can learn how to play a computer. This guy is not going to be, my apologies to Chris Hardwick, but he's not going to learn how to be anywhere close to half as good as LeBron James, I don't think.
Yeah, the issue with the learning part is it's not like an average man gets to show up an hour before, I guess, LeBron plays him so he could work on his game, work on his handles. Like, he'd have to add all that within the game of playing LeBron James one-on-one, which is going to be much more difficult.
True. I agree on that.
So, I mean, yeah, really, it's just like, how many times is it going to take for this average guy to, I think, just hit 6-2s, just like bombs from like 35 feet, where LeBron is not even coming out to check him yet.
Why wouldn't he?
You know, well, why wouldn't he is the thing. Yeah, well, right, after he hits two or three, you think LeBron's going to press up on him, make him drive? Yeah. The guy may not be able to drive.
You would learn that in about game 15,000. You'd be like, okay, when he steps out on me, I know how to get around him now.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Then LeBron blocks you at the rim. Uh-oh. We're going back.
Oh, it's, I guess this was pulled from this idea, the same idea with like a chess master and how many times it would take an average chess player to eventually beat a chess master. But that, I mean, that one you can almost convince yourself more because you're removing the physical part of it. It's all mental and it's all learning and you're picking up on what that chess master may do and mm-hmm. you're going to adapt in theory. But this is a whole other level with... foot and a half in difference in height, 150 pounds, whatever it is, like if you're an average guy. But Trey believes that one day average man wins.
One day average man wins.
Oh, man.
You disagree?
Well, I do. I hope Twitter improves over 20,000 conversations between one person and another person. I hope it gets better.
Because well, I think we've seen peak. It's definitely getting worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We've seen peak Twitter. It was a great time.
Yeah.
It was a great time to be there. A long time ago.
I was just checking how many tweets I had. How many tweets do you have? Do you know off the top of your head?
I've got over 100,000.
Yeah, where the hell do you find that? I thought it was right there, but it's not.
There's a lot of things there on
anyway,
the tweets.
My point
now.
Is it's going the opposite direction. It's just getting worse. I'm actually I'm in hell when I'm on Twitter. Just like this average man. All right, great stuff there. Thank you to Jake and Ball for the tweet. Okay, make it Jake Paul.
Right, average man.
How many times would it take for Jake Paul to beat LeBron James? He's an athlete.
Does he have access to Prime energy drink?
Yes, the court is branded Prime.
Uh-oh. So he has that takes it down a little for me then.
okay.
Oh, Prime. Did you say Prime?
Prime.
Yeah, Logan Paul is a Prime hydration guy.
Yeah, that's
with the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, with the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, with the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, he's also he has Prime in the. You know, we didn't tell you when we were talking WrestleMania yesterday. Oh. Prime is now on the mat.
Oh,
and there's Prime, there's a hydration station that's always gets knocked over in every match.
Yep. And a guy.
And then a mascot. Yeah.
Anyway.
A lot of Prime.
Okay, who would win in a one-on-one game between Chris Hardwick and Tom Cruise? Hmm. I think Chris Hardwick has the size on Cruise, but Cruise is a better athlete and has great running fitness.
And seems
great,
has
great
he's
point.
He's like a little more psycho, like in a good way for a game of one-on-one. Eventually,
he's 61
learning.
Years of age. I don't want to question that.
Wow!
I shouldn't. Tom I shouldn't Cruise question that doing? Because he looks great. He just did Mission Impossible.
Give me Cruise. I mean, give me Cruise.
Sorry, Hardwick.
Me too.
See, like we've got AI now. Can't we just like plug that in and say, hey, show me, hey AI, make me a game one-on-one.
Make me a game.
Chris Hardwick versus Tom Cruise. And we should have that on tomorrow's show is my point.
That's what movies are going to be.
Tom Cruise would never do that. He insists on doing his own stunts.
That's
he hates AI. That's what the new Mission Impossible was all about, actually. Dead Reckoning.
Well, yeah, but after Tom Cruise beats Chris Hardwick in one-on-one, check to see who's under the mask. Because it's probably LeBron James. Because that's all he's doing in that movie, too. I finally did watch it. Very disappointed.
Oh, really?
I was disappointed. And I love the Mission Impossible series. Mm. I just thought it was, I don't know.
I didn't like it as much as the previous one, which was
Ghost
either Rogue Nation and Ghost Protocol, which I thought that were both better.
Yeah,
but
agreed.
I loved how many references to first Mission Impossible there were in Dead Reckoning.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a part one, so it ends a little odd, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Ending odd, just like this podcast is. Let's call it there. Incredibly lots of games on still tonight. Back-to-backs. Knock on wood that nobody else gets hurt. We'll wait to see the severity of Giannis's injury and what impact that has on the Eastern Conference playoffs. But we'll be here tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to break it all down. Get your questions in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Drop them in the YouTube comments. Tweet them in, @NoDunksInc. And we'll also have Survivor on tonight, so we'll be doing No Buffs tomorrow as well. Two shows tomorrow. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Tom Cruise, in whatever he did, he had soleus. I just want to make a soleus connection, you know.
He had soul.
But he's not a soldier.
That's the connection.
Yeah, that's the connection. Why not? He was great. He had the Top Gun. He had it all, man.
You think Tom Cruise has soul, though?
Well, he has to.
Well, technically,
I thought he was declared clear with regards to soul.
You're on fire today, man. Embrace the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.